Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one.
So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality
Gaze, let's love!
First and foremost, I'm really proud of the group. Not just the players, but players first and foremost, but a lot of people behind the scenes as well that don't get enough credit. There's so many people. I think the strength and conditioning staff made a huge difference in our level of preparation into this year, and that paid off, especially late in the season. The scouting staff that has done an excellent job on finding these guys that are making an impact in this league, mid-round in the first or even later in the draft. The traits that the pro scouts have contributed to, that have brought in great players like Josh Doan that was talked about, with Lindy, Kevin Adams, for putting all of that together, deserves a ton of credit. Mike Leone and his staff in Rochester done an excellent job with preparing these players for what it takes to play in the NHL level. It's been seamless every time we called a guy up and looked like they've been in the NHL for a long time already. Almost all of them, and I think the ones that we see the most impact from, the guys like Osland, and we thought that filling the center ice position with the big loss of like Josh Norris at times this year, and finding out that a guy like Noah Osland can play in the middle of the ice and be successful right off the bat is huge for our future. Same thing with Konsta Helenius. We knew he was a good player. He had a great season in Rochester, and then you put him in the playoffs, and we have talks with the coaching staff that, he's good. He's probably ready to play. Can he handle the duties of a center iceman? He goes in and plays great. Those are all great to see, and I think the people behind the scenes that made all of this happen deserve a ton of credit for that. So, the ownership here have told me right from the start that anything you need to win will support you. And they've lived up to that every time we've had any ask about whether we need to add staff or add technology or whatever it's been. If we have good reasoning behind it, they've lived up to exactly what they've promised. So I want to thank the Pegula family for doing that and believing in us and believing in me and extending Lindy, a no-brainer. He's done a great job with his staff. We talked about this probably first time we talked about it was in LA on that trip, and then we continued the talks, and he wanted to focus on playoffs, but once we got to it at the end, it was pretty quick and straightforward talk, and I think we both wanted the same thing, so it was easy. But just real proud of the whole group and what we went through, how much we learned. Obviously, we're not where we want to be right now, and the disappointment will take a little while, but we did the exit meetings with Lindy together, and I just can't emphasize enough to them and to everybody how excited I am about the future of this group and the potential that we have because of the growth potential that lays within the group. I don't think I've ever seen a group of young men that have so many good potential center icemen in the group. I always believe in building from the back end. I would put our defense next to anybody's in this league, how good we have it back there. The goaltending was solid all year. We wondered about the three goalies ourselves too. Does it work? Well, why wouldn't it work? And now that we have to hire a full-time E-bug, I, I've even said in the GM meetings before that if it ever happens that we have to put in a goalie into a situation where he has to play a full game in the NHL, but he's never played NHL level hockey and he's not clearly not good enough to play pro hockey, which is in the rules of the emergency backup goalie, you cannot have pro experience. I think it would be a tough situation to see. So I think having three goalies available all the time, it can be a real good way to go. And I think that once we got talking to all of them about it in the exit meetings, they all agreed. They're all real good people, real good teammates, real good pros. I think Lindy touched on it too, that they pushed each other, they supported each other, they challenged each other, they had fun. All of them want to probably play more games, but that's great. It's internal competition, and they'll be better off. And at some point, we may have to change that, but I think it's worked great so far, and it's been a strength of our team. We had Colton Ellis go in a few times and play incredible games. Alex Lyon and UP, they played the most of the games and had good seasons. I think the best season Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen has ever had. Now you get the right pronunciation of it. And numbers-wise, his save percentage and goals against average, both of them. And Alex Lyon's been a great mentor to our young goalies, so I think we're in a good spot. But just real proud of everything that we've accomplished so far. But this is just the beginning. I mean, it was so great to see how this city came together. I get chills even thinking about it. Just the atmosphere in the building, the electricity around the whole city. Even I got stopped at Wegmans. I heard Benny talked about being stopped in the city, and even I got stopped at Wegmans for Go Sabres and that kind of stuff. So it's just the beginning for us, and we're excited to move forward. So I'll take questions.
Yarmo, I'm very curious. Just you've been around this league so long, and we see the playoffs, and you lost three home games against Montreal, which kind of contributed to the loss with other things. But it's happening all over the league. I mean, in the Eastern Conference, the home teams are having a terrible trouble. Do you know, have any thoughts on why the home teams are having so much trouble in the playoffs winning hockey games?
We think about it a lot. I don't know if we have the solution or the answer to it. It should be an advantage, obviously, especially with the kind of support we get here from our fans. It's incredible and much appreciated. So we should be able to do better at home, no question about it. I think that's going to be something that we're going to keep thinking about, because just as like Lindy said, that I think we could have put the series away earlier without getting into Game 7, let alone let that be decided by one goal and one shot. So that's going to be a focus for sure. But at the same time, I think it's really important to be a good road team, and I think we showed that throughout the season and in the playoffs as well.
In the playoffs, seeing Lindy navigate like the schedule, the morning skates, and switching up the lines, what impressed you about the way he led the group through these last 4 weeks?
Well, I think he has a really good feel for the pulse of the team, but he also listens. So he has a good relationship with the strength and conditioning staff. And there's a lot of data involved in today's world. So it's science backed on where we're at, what we need to do to prepare for the next game. And he's very open to that, to listening. Some coaches can be stubborn. This is the way I've done it always. This is the way we're going to do it. He's not like that at all. And that's, to me, that shows a coach that still wants to get better and believes in the new technology, the science behind it and all that. So a lot of conversations with his staff, with the management about different things, whether it's the lineup, the combinations, the chemistry, special teams. He's always willing to listen. I think I've just personally, I've really enjoyed the relationship with them, and you know, I've worked with a lot of coaches, and some of them are more stubborn than others, and some of them listen more carefully than others, and Lindy's you know, been great to work with, just because of he listens and you know, respects different opinions from different areas of the game, whether it's the guys in the gym cranking the data together to prepare for the next game, or if it's his assistant coaches or medical staff or the management, he's always willing to listen.
Yarmo, how high of a priority is it to get Alex Tuch a new contract, and how valuable is he to this franchise right now?
Well, we've talked about it all season long when these questions arise, that he's been an important part of our success. He's always getting some of the most ice time for any of the forwards, killing penalties, playing power play. He's a consistent goal scorer. You know, he's a valuable part of our team. But just like I've told him and I tell everybody in the same situation, we make our decisions based on how can we make our team better. And you know, we have to come to an agreement that this is the type of contract that we can still make our team better, and hopefully we can do that.
Yarmo, I've got two questions because I wanted to follow up your answer there. How much do you have to weigh in the young guys that are filling in roles that you saw in Oslin and Hellenius and Yuri's going to be coming back and healthy versus the value of Alex Tuch's value to this team? How much do you have to weigh those two factors when it comes to making a decision?
Well, you always weigh in what's the chemistry, what's the leadership part, what's the how do the pieces fit. You can have 23 men on the roster, then you have a thing called salary cap that you have to worry about, and you cannot be 1 cent over that. So those are all the things that we have to take into consideration. Our young guys have shown they can play in this league, not only play but make an impact and to our success. So we have pretty good comfort level on knowing that these are the guys that can play and contribute on this level already. And you know, but you also need experience, you need leadership, and Alex Tuch's been a big part of our success.
And the question I was going to ask is, what is it about two so-called retreads, but guys with experience, you and Lindy, who've been around the league for a long time, to come together and achieve this type of success in a very short while at a franchise that hasn't had a lot in recent years? And is there some commonality there?
I've said this many times, but from the outside, when I was looking at the Buffalo Sabres, I thought, man, that team has a lot of potential, a lot of talent on the team. And I think once the coaching staff's message started getting through that we need to compete, we need to be more disciplined, we can't do the stupid stuff, as we call it, when we shoot ourselves in the foot, when we're leading the game and cause our own problems. And we started winning hockey games. And once you start winning hockey games, you start believing in it. You start believing that if this is what we do in consistent basis, we're going to win hockey games. And when you go 10 in a row, it's like, okay, this is working. Let's keep doing this. And when you get that belief, even if you lose a couple games, you're like, no problem, we're going to get back at it. I think we showed that resiliency at the end of tight games where we might have been down by a couple goals. Guys just kept believing in this is the right way to play. This sort of gets us back in the game, and we did. So, from my time as a general manager, I've really enjoyed working with Lindy. I enjoy his sense of humor, his experience, his passion for the game, his details, how he's still evolving as a coach. He's not a spring chicken anymore, but he's a student of the game. I view it the same way. I feel like, you know, I got to be a better manager. I got to be better at evaluating players. I got to be better at communicating with the coaches, with the scouting staff, with development staff, Rochester, all those things. If I stop having the drive to be a better manager, then I should retire. and probably will that day. But you know, I want us all to have that drive and desire to get better.
Yeah, almost some housekeeping items here. First one would be, do you have any players who need any procedures, and did you have any players going through stuff in a big way in the playoffs?
Yeah, we had a lot of banged up players. Every team in the league has banged up players, and our players are not the type of guys that want to make any excuses, and neither do we. But there were a lot of guys that were struggling through injuries in the playoffs, and I give a lot of credit to Owen Power, for example. He had a grade 3 ankle sprain that was getting heavily taped up, and he played through, and I thought played some of his best games at the end of the Montreal series. Morgan Stanley tried to play through an injury that was a lot worse than he let on, and he told us at the exit meetings that he didn't want anybody to really think that he wasn't able to play, but we could see it. Sam Carrick tried to come back from his injury too early for what the prognosis was when he got injured. And that just shows that the character, the desire to play and help the team, and you know, that's how hockey players are built.
And the other one was kind of the aftermath of Game 7 here. I mean, there was a lot of talk about the Malenstein play, and I think people understand what happened with the early whistle and whatever. There wasn't much talk about the Danault goal in the first period being a kick. Did you discuss that with the supervisor, with the league, in the wake of that game, about why that wasn't looked at more as a kick?
I kind of looked at those things as, okay, game's over. It doesn't make any difference whether I call and scream at somebody or complain about it. I think I would have liked to have a little longer review of it based on some of the angles that I saw. It was a quick decision. But those guys, they have a lot of experience in reviewing things, and sort of the direction from the league has been that they want to allow more goals. Distinct kick and motion, how do you define that? You know, you got to ask the league exactly. I trust their process. I accept the process. I almost always like to be complimentary of their work, because they have a hard job to do, and they do a good job. You know, did the whistle go a little too quick? I think yes. At the same time, I'm not sure if it would have counted if Montreal challenged that, so I'm not complaining about that either. And those were some of the best referees, if not the best referees in the NHL in that game. And I have a lot of respect for the crew that we had on the ice. So, you know, again, we should have scored more goals early on in the series and in that game, and never been in the place where one goal decides.
Jarmo, organizationally speaking, you have a lot of player depth now, but where in the organization do you feel like you want to improve the depth or improve the quality, not just on the ice, but off of it?
Well, I think we have a few announcements coming soon here, what we need to do with our staff, and I think we'll release them all together at the same time. I think we're in a really good place as far as our depth goes with the team. Probably we'll have to make some hard decisions to fit all 23 guys under the roster limitation and the salary cap. So, but that's, I always say that's a positive problem to have. If you have too many good players, that's a problem I'll take all day, any day. So I'm looking forward to the challenge.
Jarmo, you mentioned the top four defensemen you have. You also mentioned your center depth and how happy you are with that. Where do you believe this roster needs to improve to ultimately just take the next step, whatever that is?
I think we just improved by getting some more experience going through this playoff series against Boston. Totally different style of play than Montreal, very physical. I think even at the end of the regular season, we saw that teams were trying to push us out of the rink with physical play. Didn't affect us. We pushed right back. Then the going seven games against Montreal, experiencing the pressure situations of the Game 6 and in Montreal, winning decisively there, coming back home, another pressure cooker Game 7. Now the guys have experienced it. They didn't have that experience before. I think we're going to improve internally a lot just from that experience. We're going to look at every aspect of our team that we can improve on. Same mindset for the player side as we have for coaches and management. Just find any way to find that little difference that we can make to get better. From preparation to player evaluation to player selection and finally the roster decisions that we have to make before we get to next season. So we're going to look at it all.
Yarmo, making the playoffs, as some of the players said, it's an expectation now for this team, for this franchise. What's going to be the key to sustaining it, or not just making the playoffs, but adding to this culture and adding to what the identity of this team is now? What is that from an organizational standpoint?
Well, I'm glad that the players say that, but I also know that me and Lindy, we warned them all day today in the exit meetings about it's going to be harder because there's nobody coming here thinking that it's going to be an easy game. You know, we've gotten the attention of the league and the teams around the league that's a hard team to play against. That's a team that has a lot of talent, a lot of speed, a lot of skill, but that also works hard and competes. And you know, it's going to make things harder. On individual level, there may have been some surprises that other teams might have seen, like, who's that guy? Well, they know now who they are, so they're going to get harder matchups. Teams are going to be more prepared. Players on the other teams, they pay attention to what's going on, who they're playing against, who they're up against. So it's going to get harder. But I'm glad that they think this is the expectation now, because it is from our point of view, too. Our goal is to win the Stanley Cup. I said it, I think, in my press conference before, that doesn't matter whether you have to make the playoffs in order to have a chance to win the Cup. So that's a starting point. But it doesn't matter whether you lose in the first round or second round or third round or in the final. I think it would sting the most if you got that close and you lost in the Stanley Cup Finals. I know my worst or most bitter memory, and it wasn't in the NHL, but it's in the Finnish League. We lost in the final, and we should have won. To this date, bugs me, because I think we should have won that series, but we lost. And that's my most bitter hockey memory, getting the silver medal. They don't give those out in the NHL, but I truly believe that once we go through this process, that it stings now losing in the second round. We accomplished something this year. Good stepping stone for the future. Good growing growth process. But until we get to to lift the cup, it's always going to be a bitter ending. So our goal is to win the cup, to bring the Stanley Cup to the city of Buffalo and its passionate fans that deserve it. And we're going to do relentless work until we get there.
Yarmo, a couple of random things. You expect Justin Danforth to be ready for next season?
Yeah. He's pretty close to being healthy now. Obviously, a tough season with him losing pretty much the whole season with the freak injury like that, breaking his kneecap and needing another procedure to remove some cartilage that was bugging him there when he was going through his recovery, hoping to come back this year. But he should be fully healthy next year.
So he had two surgeries?
Yeah, he needed the initial surgery to fix the kneecap, but then there was some cartilage loose there that was bugging him with his movement, so need to be cleaned up.
And Devin Leva, he's a kid who was viewed as the goalie of the future here. He spent a lot of time in the NHL early in his career. He spent the entire season in Rochester. What, if any, future do you see for him? Going forward, I guess.
Well, he's a talented goalie, and he's played some great hockey in the American League level. He's played some games in the NHL. probably the toughest position in of any positions on a hockey team is to get the responsibility to be a goalie that the coaches rely upon on a regular basis. And I think every goalie, almost every goalie in the league, has gone through the process of when they need to develop and play games, they have to play in the minors, because it's the most demanding position. Every mistake is on the board. You don't get better by sitting in the on the bench. So until they don't need waivers, or the time that they don't need waivers and they can play games in the minors, almost every goalie, even the superstar goalies in the league, have gone through that process. There's very few that step right into the NHL without playing in the minors over the history of the league. So he's just getting through that process now, and next year he'll need waivers. So, you know, it's another part of that process, and we will see how he keeps developing. And I think he's an NHL caliber talent that has the potential to be a good goalie in this league for a long time.
Yarmo, with Michael Kessler, he had three injuries that really derailed his season. I know he tried to play through one of them, and then he gets more healthy near the end of the year, but he's not in the lineup. And, of course, as any player would be, he's upset about that. So where is he at now, you know, that you have talked to him? I mean, does he still want to be a part of this? And how do you feel about him moving forward?
I've actually had several conversations with him during the year. You know, try to recognize a player when he's struggling a bit and maybe needs to have that conversation. So I talked to him a couple times during the year about his situation. I think that we have lots of belief in his ability. A great skater, big guy, right-handed defenseman. We've seen the potential that he has. Tough season, obviously, with the injuries. And again, I think it's adjusting to the new team as well. Our top four is really, really good. And if you come from a situation where you might have had top 4 minutes before, expecting to get top 4 minutes here, it's tough competition. It's really tough competition, and then you might have to adjust your style of play a little bit. You might have to just be the reliable 5-6 now instead of being a top four. And I don't blame any player for trying to be hungry for more. But first you have to fulfill the role that you're in and be proud of it, and then you can grow. And if the coaches decide that, okay, it's time for him to grow, to be a little bit more than we've given him, then he'll get it. But, you know, I think every player that gets traded goes through a little bit of an adjustment period with that, where they have to settle in with their new team, what their role is, how they fit in with all of the components and the chemistry of the team. I think that was part of his season too. But I've also seen how hard he works when he's not in the lineup. You know, I'm usually in the gym in the afternoon when the players leave. Well, he was still there a couple times long after other players had left, and going hard at it just to be ready whenever he was called upon. He had his chances late in the season here too to get back in the lineup and prove that he belongs. We have a lot of faith in his ability, and that's why he's here.
Yarmo, what are your initial thoughts on Zach Benson, the season he had, and just the contract situation? Obviously, kind of unique with him being so young and the cap going up like it is.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. That's a great situation. I mean, that's why we locked up Josh Doan early, because we saw the character, the competitiveness, and the potential for leadership role long into the future. You want to lock guys like that up, and that's the same thing with Benson. I see him as a true core piece that fills all the boxes. Maybe not the height, but everything else. I mean, the way he plays, how he's just relentless, a dog on the bone. I can't say enough good things about Zach Benson. I mean, he's got skill, he's got hockey sense, he's got instincts, he's relentless, he's a competitor. What a great playoff he had, and again, I'm so excited about the level that he can get to still. I mean, he should have been just first year out of junior this year. His age, he's 20 years old. He just turned 21 to have his first legal beer in the playoffs. I mean, he's just getting started. Even when you look at him, he looks young. He still looks like a boy, and we'll just wait until he becomes a big, strong man that we're going to be pushing him to get to. I might make a visit to Western Canada just to see that his summer training's going the way it's supposed to, and I think he's really bought into that now with Galley and his group. So I can't wait to see where those guys can get to when they reach their peak. I think there's so many players like that in our group. There's Jack Quinn, there's Josh Doan, there's Owen Power. There's so much growth potential within our group of those young players, Jiří Kulík, Ostlund, Helenius. I could go on. And I say this to the older guys too, that, hey, don't you ever stop thinking that you can't get better. There's always an area where you can get better, even if you're Jason Zucker. I said that to him today. I mean, there are areas that for sure he can get still better at and make a little difference. And there are a lot of great players around the league that have that longevity. They play into their 40s or close to 40s, but find different ways of getting better within their game. Maybe it's not the speed anymore or the quickness part of it, but it's the decision-making, the smart, the little things, the stick, the battles, the poise, all those little things that you can get better at. But I'm just really, really excited about our group.
You've mentioned your top four a couple times also. You're lucky enough to have three of them locked up long-term, but Bo's eligible again this summer. Like, how important is it to you to try to keep that top four intact for as long as possible?
Very important. I said that to Bo Byram today. I'd like to lock him up for a long time. I think the top four of our defense is our driver, our engine. And their mobility, ability to move the puck, ability to support offense, but also play good defensively. You know, there's a lot of untapped potential there too. I think Bo's still a young defenseman, he can get better. Rasmus Dahlin takes his job very seriously. He wants to be the best defenseman in the world. He can get better. Samuelson to me was probably the biggest revelation when I came here, how good he was. Watching from outside, I had no idea how good he can be and how good he was this year on both sides of the puck. He can still keep getting better. I have no doubt about that. Owen Power, such a talented young man, and he's just scratching surface. With that size, 6'6", I don't think he's ever going to be a killer, but he doesn't have to be. He's so smart, so mobile for a guy that size. And can really kill plays in the defensive end because of his mobility and smarts, but also support the offense in the other end. There's so much growth potential that it just gets me excited to get going here and go upstairs and talk to the guys and what's our next step here.
Jaromir, you teased some staff announcements coming forth. Will those be in the front office or will those be in the farm system? And what are your vision and goals for this organization from a management perspective?
I'll be the best management in the league. I think that's, I want to be a real good general manager. I expect all of our staff to be the best in their areas. We have our amateur scouting staff here this week. They've done a great job. I expect them to be the best amateur scouting staff in the whole league. And that's what we're striving for with our selections for different roles. I think there are some areas where we need some more people, good people. We have some in mind, and some of them will come out soon because we've already made some decisions. We just need to make sure that we finalize the paperwork and get going with it.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.